Welcome back to Burnoutology, the podcast with me, your host, Kelly Swingler. Today we are on Burnout Truth number 19. Number 19 from 200. 200 is a lot of truths, right? We're going to see whether I get bored before we get to 200. That's a lot of years listening. Do we know? What's the longest running podcast that you've been listening to? If they've done it as like one continuous streak, do they have like different seasons? Anyway, we've digressed already, but I would like to know the answer. Let me know your thoughts on that one. But today, Burnout Truth number 19, we are talking about coach washed burnout. What does this mean? This is when your coach tells you to choose better thoughts instead of spotting the signs of burnout. And how we spot it, it's like high ticket encouragement, but zero nervous system awareness. And why it matters is because your body knows more than their script. Let me repeat that last bit for you. Your body knows more than their script. That's what we're talking about today. Truth number 19, coach washed burnout. Don't think I'm going to be able to repeat that too many times, am I? This is Burnoutology, the podcast. As I said, my name is Kelly Swingler and I am the Burnoutologist. My first burnout nearly killed me. My second burnout made me... No, let's start again. My first burnout made me really seriously ill. My second nearly killed me. And over the last decade, I have coached over 700 leaders through burnout. And I've trained coaches from 14 countries in how to be burnout aware and also how to be master burnout coaches. And it's those two periods of burnout that drive what I do every single day. I believe that burnout ends with awareness. And this podcast, whilst it's not going to, I'm not under any illusion that this is going to fix burnout overnight and it's going to eliminate all of the toxicity, that it's going to solve the burnout equation and stop us all from getting where we are. But this is my permission slip to myself to let go of perfect, to let go of trying to fix the world and just learning to speak more truth and show up and talk about this stuff with ease and simplicity and bring it to life in the best possible way that I can, so that hopefully if there's just one light bulb moment that you have or one moment of clarity that makes you think that's exactly what I've been doing, that's how I've been feeling, that's a trap that I've fallen into, again, through that level of awareness, hopefully we can end burnout. So Burnoutology, the podcast, is uncut, unedited, unscripted. Sometimes you'll get me saying exactly the wrong thing. Sometimes hopefully you'll get the right as well. But sometimes you'll get me saying the wrong thing. Sometimes you'll get pauses. You might get banging in the background. You might get the dog barking. You might get me repeating, brain dumping, forgetting a word that I was going to say. Brain fog might creep in. All sorts of stuff might happen. But this is life, right? This is what happens. This is how we show up. This is how we live, how we breathe. Life isn't constantly filtered. And the burnout equation is, I suppose, my way of talking about how we can end burnout. And the burnout equation is this: toxicity minus our sense of self equals burnout. Toxicity minus our sense of self equals burnout. And perfectionism, for me, was a toxic trait. Thinking that life had to be perfect all of the time, for me, was a toxic trait. Thinking that I needed to prove my worth all of the time was a toxic trait. And then when I ended up in a toxic workplace, in a toxic environment, and that was missed by everybody, I began to lose myself in the process. Because I realised for how many years I'd been modifying not feeling good enough. I'd been modifying myself because I didn't feel good enough. I kept feeling that I had to prove. I kept thinking that I needed to change who I was because I wasn't good enough. And Burnoutology is, you know, I don't always get it right. It's not always good enough. The recording quality is not always right. I could have done better with the sound. I could have thought about it more. I could have maybe used a different example. But show up and do it anyway, every single week, because this for me is important. And today we're talking about, as I said, coach washed burnout. This is when our coach tells you to choose better thoughts instead of spotting burnout. We spot it by high ticket encouragement, right? So it's high ticket prices. You're investing 10, 20, 30, 40, £50,000 on this program, right? This is going to give you everything that you need. And yet all of that high ticket pricing, there's absolutely zero awareness about the nervous system, about how you're feeling, really feeling. Because you get told to override that, don't you? Clap or shout or stand or pick a power pose or do something, right? Because if you can shift the energy of your body, then we can change everything. But how much then are we ignoring? If we constantly learn to override our nervous system, if we constantly learn how to change our state, how much are we suppressing? How much are we ignoring? Is this why so many people are getting to the point of burnout, pushing themselves to the point of exhaustion constantly, collapsing, having strokes, having heart attacks, passing out all over the place? Because we're told that we've just got to keep hustling. Choose to be more positive. Choose to pick resilience. Choose to push through. Choose to push it, do it, you know, do it differently. Choose to push your boundaries. Choose to go even harder. And this stuff matters because your body knows more than their script, knows more than their framework, knows more than anything that they're talking to you about, right? Your body knows. Your entire nervous system, your entire brain, right? We have this primitive part of our brain, right? Our internal safety mechanism is what I call it, right? Our fight, flight, freeze response. If you were to walk out into the road today, there's a part of you that's like, don't go now, there's a bus coming, right? That instinctive part of you that stops you from crossing the road at that point. There is that instinctive part. If you had to run away from a fire or a flood, there is a part of you that needs you to get the hell out of there straight away. That's the instinctive part of you. That intuitive part of you. You walk into a room, you walk into a party or a meeting, and you just know that something feels off, right? That niggle, that feeling that says, this is not where I should be. Something's off, energy feels off, right? It's like, ooh, what's going on in here, right? You know, you can cut the atmosphere with a knife. That's the part of you that knows. That's your body saying, something's not right here. Now, I've been there. I said, didn't I, with many of these truths. It's, I don't know, maybe a message to myself. But also, as I said a couple of weeks ago, I know that my story is not an isolated story. I know that for all of the years that I've been doing this work, all the hundreds of people that I've worked with, I know that there are so many similarities with those of us that have lived and experienced burnout. I know there are. So I know that my story is not just my story. I know my story is also your story. And I've had instances, and I dread to think how many tens of thousands of pounds I've wasted on some of the wrong coaches and some of the wrong programs. And I've known instinctively when I've signed up that maybe this isn't the right person for me. But there was something in their marketing. There was something in something that made me think, do you know what? Maybe this is what I need. Because I thought, I've bloody tried everything else, right? Nothing's making a difference. So maybe what I'm feeling is that I need to step out of my comfort zone. Maybe what I'm feeling is that I do need to try something different. Maybe, despite me saying that I'd never work with this person for reasons X, Y, and Z, maybe I'm resisting it, right? Because again, we get told this, don't we? You're resisting the change. Okay, so let me push through the resistance. I'm going to push through the resistance, right? My gut feel, my intuition says to me, do not work with this person. But maybe that's because I'm afraid. Maybe that's because I'm not ready. Maybe that's because I'm resisting. Maybe that's because I haven't chosen the better thoughts. Maybe that's because I'm stuck in a fixed mindset. Right? So although every single part of my being is saying, do not work with this person, you go, well, it must be working for everybody else, right? People wouldn't be paying this person 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100,000 pounds if they didn't know their stuff, right? So I've got to stop resisting. I need to go and work with this client. And then you're like, I should not be here. This is not the right thing for me. This is not what I need. Because your body keeps giving the same signs and the same signals that say, get the hell out of here. But then you kind of think, well, I've already paid my money. So I suppose I better stay and I suppose I better do the work and get nothing from it. Even though you say, I'm going to do it. But it's not what you needed in the first place. And every time you show up for a session and they keep telling you to choose better thoughts and change your energy and change your state and focus on the right thing and do your affirmations and do your journaling and see the world differently. Even though you do all of that stuff, you think, well, it's got to be making some sort of difference. You get out the program and then you realise just how bloody toxic it was and that they did not deserve your money or your time or your effort or anything. And then somebody's like, what did you, I saw you that you did this program or they've, but you've already, or your face is already on a testimonial, right? You've already got your face on their website. Because they go, well, Kelly got results in the first session. So here we go. So you haven't given permission and yet your face and your testimonials are everywhere. It's all over marketing. It's all over the materials. It's all over their website. You're there and other people get in contact with you. Can you tell me what it's like working with this person? You go, probably wasn't for me. And they go, yeah, but you must have got something from it, right? Because you've given this testimonial. And then are you honest? I may be a little too honest. But we're not all for everybody. That's kind of what I've come to learn. And I can still fall into the mindset, right? I still kind of think if I want to be a really successful business, if I want to continue to get the growth, if I want to continue to do all this stuff, right, I've got to be investing in high-end coaches. And sometimes I don't need the coach. Sometimes I just need to trust myself. Sometimes I just need to go it alone for 6 months in order to sort it out for myself. And not because I don't believe in coaching, but I also believe that coaching shouldn't become a crutch for people. And I've always been really proud of my coaching, right? If somebody... Once I remember, again, this toxic environment, the toxic workplace that I was in, the chief executive's coach was then assigned as my coach. And there were so many ethical things wrong with that anyway. But she very proudly said, I've been working with this CEO for 10 years. And I can remember looking at this CEO, right? He's leading this toxic organisation, but I can remember looking at this CEO and going, bloody hell. If this is what 10 years of coaching does for this CEO, I don't really rate the coaching much, right? And all of a sudden, I remember again, kind of, I was maybe a year into the business. I joined this particular networking group. And this one evening, we were doing some kind of round table discussions. And I had an accountant on my table. And he wasn't like, I say just an accountant. He did more, but he'd also talk about business growth and business strategy and help you with those things. But I remember sitting on his table this particular night as we were having this conversation. He's like, Kelly, you've got no, like, you need to be upselling. You need more of a pipeline. If people want to finish the program with you, you need to be upselling them to something else. You've got to be upselling them to something else. And I remember, like, ethically and morally for me, no, I don't want people to be relying on me as a crutch, right? If I've got to be working with people, the same people, for years and years and years and years and years and years, I'm not doing my job properly, surely. Because I do think we can outgrow coaches. I do think we can outgrow people. I think we can, you know, outgrow different people. Now, I am constantly learning. So I suppose even as I'm growing and up-leveling, I bloody hate that word, but hopefully I think it's the appropriate one for this one, right? But so even as I'm up-leveling, my clients, helping my clients move forward, helping them get the goals and the shifts, I'm then learning more at the same time. So yes, I could, but I don't want to be a crutch for people. Now, I have had clients work with me for 3 or 6 months, sometimes a little bit longer, and then they take a break and then they've come to me because they're in a new job or they've got another opportunity and we'll work with each other. I've had some clients extend their coaching. I've had people come back to me years later. But if you're paying me every single month to be your coach every single month, I don't think I'm doing my job properly. I genuinely don't believe that. And if I then fall into this trap of, well, I've just got to keep upselling, then something doesn't feel right. But I've also learned for some of my clients, if instinctively they want an extra 3 or 6 months with me, we talk through what that looks like. But there's nothing to say that can't happen. But I'm also conscious, very conscious, that a lot of the coaching skills, a lot of the training that I learned before I started doing this stuff was really about kind of just choose better thoughts. The coaching that I did was solution-focused coaching. Now, I also trained in solution-focused psychotherapy, and I also trained in solution-focused hypnotherapy. Solution-focused really is we focus on the solution. We don't spend time focusing on the problem. The therapy that I'm having at the moment with my therapist, we're doing a lot of background stuff, right? A lot of going back throughout my entire life is what it feels like at the moment. But we're going back through a lot of that stuff. Now, coaching doesn't do that, and for very good reason. Coaching isn't therapy. But we also can't ignore what's going on for the person. If a person is showing up for us, in front of us, with an issue that needs to be resolved, just telling them to choose a better thought or change their mindset or get out of a fixed mindset and into a growth mindset, or well, they'd have got more if they'd have just bought the more expensive program, or they just need to change their state, or they need to try a power pose. Now, I've trained in a number of different empowerment techniques. Some of you listening to this will have joined me for Power Up. And it's about empowerment techniques, and it is empowerment coaching, and it is about getting you moving forward, and it is about breakthroughs and getting you to think differently and be differently and letting go of things that are holding you back. But that's not my everyday coaching with every single client, because it's not right for everybody. It's not right for every single person. It's not right for everybody on a one-to-one. Now, maybe if I was marketing myself as an empowerment coach and people came to realize that, again, we all need different things at different times. But if the signs of burnout are in the room, empowerment coaching is not the right place to be going, because you're not going to get the momentum. You're not going to get the breakthroughs. You're not going to be creating any change. It's going to be nigh on impossible to just choose better thoughts if burnout is in the room. It's going to be nigh on impossible to just think differently. It's going to be nigh on impossible to get to out of fixed mindset into growth mindset. It's going to be impossible to change your energy or change your state or think differently. And this is why then when I see coaches talking about, well, I got ghosted by these clients, clearly they weren't ready, clearly they were the problem. And maybe if you had been burnout aware as their coach and you had seen the signs and coach differently, maybe even just for a couple of sessions, maybe then they'd have started to get the breakthroughs. Coaching's blaming too many people for not having the positive mindset, for not choosing better thoughts, for choosing to keep themselves stuck. And burnout takes away that choice. Burnout isn't a choice of just choose better thoughts. Burnout fundamentally is changing the wiring of your brain. Burnout pushes you into fight, flight, freeze mode. Burnout causes you to be being driven by the primitive part of your brain. Burnout is about survival. Just changing your state does not get you out of survival mode. If you were running for your life right now, changing your state is not going to help you. If I'm like, just choose calm, do you know what's going to, you're going to stop running. You might be in more danger if you just stop. Now, of course, burnout isn't actually running for your life, but your body doesn't know the difference. Changing your state is not what's needed whilst your body and your brain think that you are running and fighting for your life in that moment. And we need to fundamentally understand that if we're going to create the change. Coached, washed, burnout. What it really means is when your coach just tells you to choose better thoughts instead of spotting burnout. How to spot it is high ticket encouragement with zero nervous system awareness. And why it matters is because your body knows more than their script. That has been Burnout Truth number 19. I'll be back with you next week then for Truth 20. Oh, it feels like we've come a long way since we first started, if we're already on 20. We'll be talking next week about burnout aesthetic. What it really means is when you're looking put together while silently falling apart, how we spot it, perfect outfits, clean captions, but a 1,000-yard stare. And why it matters is because collapse doesn't always look chaotic. Sometimes it looks like you're winning. As I'm saying that, I'm like, yeah, that was already me. So we'll be talking about that again next week. This has been Burnout Truth number 19. If you don't already have your podcast companion, head to kellyswinglerk.com/podcast. Get your podcast companion with all of your notes and your weekly reminder that if you haven't already got your Burnout Aware Starter Kit, also head to kellyswinglerk.com. Maybe also, if you have been here for a while and you've already got your starter kit, maybe take a look, head to Burnout 101. If you want to start to take this work a little bit deeper, but you're not quite ready for either the Burnout Aware Coach or the Master Burnout Coach, maybe just start there. Burnout 101. You'll get some information there. Thanks for listening. It's been a pleasure again. I'll be back with you. New episode every single Tuesday at 7 a.m. So I'll be back with you at 7 a.m. UK time next week for the next episode of Burnoutology with me, your host, Kelly Swingler. Go have an amazing day. Thanks very much for listening again. And I will be back with you again next week. Take care for now. Bye-bye.